We have reached that point in our meeting which we have reserved for public comment. I am grateful to the audience for your patience and for being here. Our schedules, our times vary, but I thank you for staying to give comment today. We have 12 requests for public comment at today's meeting. I believe all are for consent agenda-related comments or matters that are generally affecting the administration of justice. We also have 5 written comments for today's agenda items. They are included in council members' materials and are also posted on our website. I will now call upon the first of our 12 speakers for public comment today. You each have 3 minutes. Justice Miller will be keeping time, and don't be startled if he interrupts you to give you a time left. And I will call then first Mayor John Huerta. He's not coming. Thank you. Then I call Mr. Kevin Dayton, President and Chief Executive Officer.
Kevin Dayton, President and CEO of Labor Issue Solutions, LLC, based in Roseville. I'm here to speak in opposition to the project labor agreement that has contractors will need to sign to construct your $550 million San Diego County new central courthouse. We first heard rumors in February that maybe there was something in the works behind the scenes that would require contractors to sign a union agreement in order to work on that courthouse. But as myself and other people that I work with continue to research and make phone calls about, we couldn't pin anything down. We couldn't get any documentation. And people continued to deny there was anything going on. In early May, the pre-qualification questionnaire came out from the Administrative Office of the Courts, and it mentioned nothing in there about a project labor agreement. And yet the rumors continued to persist. There was nothing on the last agenda of the Judicial Council of California at all about what was going on, yet the rumors persisted. I finally filed a Public Records Act request with the Administrative Office of the Courts in May. And sure enough, in early June, I got the documentation at last, and there it was. Apparently, the State Building and Construction Trades Council of California, the lobbying group for construction unions in the state, requested that contractors have to sign a project labor agreement with the unions in order to work on this courthouse. And that request was accepted. I don't know what the criteria is of the Judicial Council or the Administrative Office of the Courts to accept requests or deny them. But theirs was accepted, and it was all done behind the scenes. I got a letter last week informing me that this was a done deal and that the contractors would be signing this project labor agreement. This is, of course, in a place where the voters in both the County of San Diego and in the City of San Diego passed ballot measures saying that they don't want their governments mandating contractors to sign project labor agreements with unions. So obviously the unions must be thrilled and gloating that in a place where the people have said no project labor agreements, they've got a big one on a big courthouse, and they've got one in a place where there are a lot of non-union contractors that were going to bid on it. What a tremendous accomplishment for them. I would just like to say to you, there should have been a vote on this, or at least it should have come up. The unions are always doing this throughout the state, always figure out ways to get their project labor agreements in place in a way that's done behind the scenes in backroom deals, so people like myself and the people who I work for, the contractors who want to work on this sort of thing, we never get a chance to speak out against it until it's done. This is inappropriate, wrong. Is this the way the Judicial Council of California operates? It certainly doesn't give me an impression. I've learned a lot about this group since I started looking at it. And you need to have a vote on this here, and I suggest that you don't do any project labor agreements. Do not let the unions monopolize your construction. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dayton. Mr. Eric Christian.
Thank you, members of the Judicial Committee. My name is Eric Christian. I'm the Executive Director of the Coalition for Fair Employment and Construction. I'm actually quite embarrassed to have to be here today to defend the right of non-union contractors to have the ability to work on projects paid for with their tax dollars. We've heard nothing in this meeting other than two things all day long, that the projects that have gone forward so far have been wonderful. They've been under budget. There have been no problems, testimony after testimony. And we've been hearing, secondly, that throughout the state, the system has no money. And yet you sign a project labor agreement on a $500-plus million project, thereby all but guaranteeing a cost increase. Now, the dissembling and dishonesty that was contained within the letter that Mr. Jarre sent out explaining why this PLA was needed is embarrassing in and of itself. And if that was the only thing that had happened here, then we would go about our way and just tell our contractors, well, maybe next time. But this is a publicly funded project in an area that has voted 58% to 42% to ban project labor agreements. These agreements are so controversial that 11 entities in California have banned them. Banned them. Including the 10th largest city in America, San Diego, 58% to 42% a year ago, 2 weeks ago, voted to ban PLAs. And you bring this to that city, a city that's 90% non-union workers from Helix Electric, one of the largest electrical contractors in the world, was a subcontractor that built this room, that built this, helped build this building, will now not be bidding this project because of the project labor agreement. You are reducing competition. Mm-hmm. I have identified 12 different contractors who will not bid this project because of the PLA. This is offensive. It is offensive not only in the way the staff has conducted themselves in your name, but it's offensive in the rhetoric that's been used to justify it. That we will, and I quote, through our Public Records Act request, because goodness knows this hasn't been discussed in public. It's been discussed in closed room sessions. Public not allowed. What is happening here? What is going on with taxpayer-funded dollars? The comment in the letter that was given to us, as expected, we will be evaluating whether the PLA is expected will minimize the risk of project delays, improve the quality of work and the management of the project, improve the reliability of the workforce, and ensure the overall cost effectiveness of the project. What an offensive way to talk to all the men and women, most of whom, again, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics in this country, 85% of whom wake up on a daily basis and choose to work in a union-free environment. What an offensive letter to write to those workers. Will improve the quality of work? What are the problems that were had? Here is where I'd like to come down from a business standpoint. Exactly what were the metrics? Exactly what was the empirical data that was demonstrated by staff before a $550 million project was deemed to be placed under the most controversial agreement facing the construction industry? Where is that data that allowed this arrogant, dissembling, dishonest letter to be written by your staff? Where is the empirical data that demonstrates exactly why you've decided to change your standard operating procedure and go with a PLA on the largest project you've undertaken? I want to see it, I want to understand the rationale, and I want to know why you didn't vote on it. I apologize for being so emotional today. We like to say with CFEC that we persuade using reason and motivate using emotion. But frankly, I am offended that I have to be here today. As much as I like coming to San Francisco on a beautiful weather day, the fact that we've had to do this is offensive. I'm passing out to you just one thing that we've been doing. If you haven't been paying attention, we have sent you packets of information.
20 seconds.
Thank you. That let you know what's going on. We have sent out mailers to tens of thousands of residents. The Union Tribune, the largest paper in the city, has taken out a blistering editorial on this process. This is not going over well in this city. I hope you're aware of that. And now you're going to reduce competition, increase costs, and exclude workers based on nothing other than their group affiliation. Please take a proper vote on this. Do it in public and reject the PLA. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Christian. Ms. Nicole Gehring.
Good afternoon, Madam Chief Justice and members of the Judicial Council. My name is Nicole Gehring with the Associated Builders and Contractors of California. The Associated Builders and Contractors is a national trade association representing 22,000 members and more than 19,000 construction and industry-related firms. We're founded on the merit shop philosophy, and we help our members win work and deliver that work safely, ethically, and profitably for the betterment of its communities. ABC California is comprised of five local ABC California chapters as part of 72 ABC chapters nationwide who all encourage government officials to procure public works through fair and open competition by ensuring a level playing field for all qualified contractors and their skilled employees, regardless of union affiliation. Experience demonstrates this approach helps government agencies provide taxpayers with the best possible construction at the best possible price. We also, ABC California's craft and apprentice training programs are recognized by the California Department of Industrial Relations and cover a wide variety of skilled trades, including electrical, plumbing, sheet metal, HVAC, painters, laborers, carpenters, heavy equipment operators, mobile crane, and welding. We're troubled by learning of the nature that the PLA was signed for the San Diego courthouse construction, and it discriminates against 84% of California workers who are non-union. And these PLAs add 18% in additional costs, our organization is fundamentally opposed to government-mandated project labor agreements because these agreements restrict competition, increase costs for the taxpayer, discriminate against non-union employees, and place merit shop contractors at a significant competitive disadvantage. These are anti-competitive agreements that stop fair and open competition. So we do not support the project labor agreement for the San Diego Courthouse construction project and are concerned that the projects moving forward are also going to be considered to 35 courthouse projects are going to be considered in this manner as well. And we would encourage you to immediately adopt a fair and open competition policy that states the following. The administrative office of the court shall not in any contract for the construction or maintenance of California court construction require that a contractor, subcontractor, material supplier, or carrier engaged in the construction or maintenance of the project execute or otherwise become party to any project labor agreement, collective bargaining agreement, community benefit agreement, pre-hire agreement, or other agreement with employees, their representatives, or any labor organization as a condition of bidding, negotiating, being awarded, or performing work. I'd be happy to meet with you about this fair and open competition policy and would encourage you to, before any other decisions like this are made, to do a educational study session for yourself so you can all learn more about the merits of the pros and cons of project labor agreements before you make any decision to enter into these in the future. These are discriminatory to 84% of the construction industry in California. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Gehring. Mr. Richard Markison.
Good afternoon, Madam Chief Justice and members of the Council. I'm Richard Markison. I'm here today representing three organizations in California: the Western Electrical Contractors Association, the Plumbing, Heating, Cooling Contractors of California, and the Air Conditioning Trade Association. All three of the organizations are authorized either under state or federal law to train and dispatch apprentices in California for public works. And as many of you may know, California law requires the use of apprentices on any public construction project. These young men and women who enroll in an apprenticeship program make a 3 to 5 year commitment of developing through classroom instruction and on-the-job training the skills necessary for a lifelong career in construction. My clients operate apprenticeship programs as one of three entities who are recognized as sponsors. Two of them have training facilities in San Diego County. The PLA hasn't been released yet, so we don't know the specifics of it, but I can tell you from my experience dealing with PLAs in California is that they typically restrict the dispatch of apprentices from only union-affiliated programs. The state of California recognizes three distinct entities, and as I said, PLAs typically restrict them to only union programs. If the PLA that has been executed for San Diego includes these restrictions, we believe that it violates at least the intent of Public Contracts Code 2500, and I will cite from that, that establishes that PLAs are only permissible if they prohibit discrimination based upon membership in a labor organization and dispatching workers for the project. Now, I realize that the Judicial Council operates under its own sections of the Public Contract Code that are separate from these, but it seems to me, at least, that it is incumbent upon the Judicial Council to at least embrace the intent of non-discrimination that the Public Contract Code Section 2500 articulates. And in a decision from your own Supreme Court in 2000, the High Voltage Wire Works defined discrimination, and it says to make distinctions in treatment and show partiality in favor or prejudice against is the definition of discrimination. And we believe that by showing partiality in favor of one program over another, that this violates the intent of discriminating against these programs. Now, beyond the impact on apprenticeship, I will say that the construction entities that belong to my client's organizations are adamantly opposed to the other provisions in project labor agreements. And while I'm sure that the speakers who will follow us today will talk about the great advantages of operating under a PLA and their historical significance, The most frequently cited claims in supporting documents for PLAs is to promote labor harmony. And it is troubling to me as a taxpayer and a citizen of California that we have to resort to signing exclusionary agreements that keep many contractors and apprentices from working on state-funded projects simply to promote labor harmony. That is troubling to me as a taxpayer, and it should be to you as well. Thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you, Mr. Markson. We'll hear from Mr. Ray Vandernat.
Madam Chief Justice, Judicial Council members, my name is Ray Vandernat. I am the attorney for the State Building and Construction Trades Council that, along with Robbie Hunter, the president from the State Building Trades, who's here today, negotiated this project labor agreement. This is not the first project labor agreement that has covered one of your courthouses. In 2011, when Robbie was still with the Los Angeles Building Trades Council, we negotiated a project labor agreement with Clark Construction for the construction of the Long Beach Courthouse. Just like in this case, Clark approached us and asked the unions to sit down and negotiate with them for a project labor agreement. That's exactly what we did. Last year also, the federal government approached us and asked that we negotiate project labor agreements with the new U.S. courthouse that is being built downtown. We've successfully negotiated a PLA for that project only. Both of these PLAs for Long Beach as well as in San Diego were negotiated in compliance with Public Contract Code 2500. And I can tell you, too, that in dealing with the other side of the table in negotiating this agreement for San Diego, the construction manager at risk, Rudolph and Slayton, they were no novice to labor negotiations. Rudolph and Slayton has a reputation throughout the state of California for being knowledgeable and knowing what they're doing. Before I go ahead and get into my regular comments, I'd like to continue the conversation by looking at one of the documents that were submitted today for public comment by one of the prior speakers, Nicole Geary. If you look on page 27, I believe it is, of the written documents, there's a document that you'll see that is called What is a PLA? Let me explain to you some of the myths that the ABC continues to try and perpetuate. The first one, PLAs put special interests ahead of the public interest by restricting the bidding process only to contractors backed by big labor unions. Not true. Look at the terms of the project labor agreement for San Diego. It says all contractors, regardless of their status of being union or non-union or signatory to any unions, are eligible to bid and be awarded the work.
30 seconds.
In fact, if you look at project labor agreements such as LAUSD, 60% of the contractors performing work under that PLA are non-union. Further, all workers must be hired through the union hiring hall, it says. Not true. Look at your agreement and look at the provision for core workers. Any non-union contractor who's successful in bidding can bring his own core workers to come work. PLAs use only union job classifications. Not true. They use the classifications established by the Department of Industrial Relations in the wage determination for the applicable project.
Time. Sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vandernat. We'll hear next from Mr. Jeremy Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chief Justice and members of the council. I appreciate the time you've given us to talk today and thankful for the opportunity to be here to talk about the project labor agreement for the San Diego Courthouse. My name is Jeremy Smith. I'm here on behalf of the State Building and Construction Trades Council. We represent just shy of 400,000 unionized construction workers in this state. We, along with our unionized contractors, our employers, account for nearly 95% of the apprentices that move through state-approved apprenticeship programs in this state. And together with our contractors, we fund those programs at north of $100 million a year. We train the next generation of workers on cutting-edge construction techniques. We ensure that they are trained as they move through their career to ensure that they stay on top of the construction industry and the changes that happen therein. I'd like to take a few minutes, or a minute, to talk about what's in the PLA, pick up on where the previous speaker left off. I'm sure that everybody in the room has read the PLA. I'd like to direct you to a couple sections. First of all, it is not true that the PLA precludes workers who are not members of labor unions. In fact, stating in Article 4, Section 2B, it says, no, quote, no employee covered by this agreement shall be required to join any union as a condition of being employed or remaining employed for the completion of this project work. The PLA goes on to say in Article 10 that, quote, the unions and employers agree that they will not discriminate against any employee or applicant for employment on the basis of membership in any labor organization. Further, it goes on to say in the PLA that in Article 3, Section G, that, quote, nothing in this agreement shall be construed to limit the right of any of the employers to select the lowest bidder they deem qualified for the award of contracts or subcontracts. And then it goes on to say under Article 4, Section 1, B, and C, any bidder may perform work on the project by signing a letter of assent to the PLA. Regarding the project costs and the claim that it's going to spiral out of control, this project, whether there's a PLA or not, is a prevailing wage job. So wages and benefits, typically big parts of any project, whether it's a prevailing wage project or not, are set. The wages and benefit levels are set by the DIR under the Prevailing Wage Act. Those costs will not change. They will stay static throughout the length of the project. The PLA practically guarantees that the project will be done on time by prohibiting strikes and lockouts. So neither the employers can lock out the workers or the workers can go on strike on their own under this PLA. By containing procedures for settling all grievances and jurisdictional disputes through arbitration, and it provides in section Article 5, Section 3A, that during the existence of this agreement there shall be no strike, sympathy strike, picketing, lockout, handbilling, slowdown, withholding of work, or other disruptive activity for any reason. PLAs have been used for decades. There was a PLA on Hoover Dam. There was a PLA at the Kennedy Space Center. There's been a PLA at the AT&T Park, at the San Francisco Airport. The 49er Stadium is being done under a PLA. Disney, Toyota, Walmart, General Motors, scores of private industry have used PLAs to do work. For those reasons, I'd like to thank you for the PLA and urge your support of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Mr. James Conway.
Thank you, Madam Chief Justice, Judicial Council members, staff, and all the attendees today. My name is Jim Conway, and I'm a consultant to the California Construction Industry Labor Management Cooperation Trust, proudly representing thousands of contractors and nearly 400,000 workers. These are the folks who perform the work statewide every day. We stand at the ready to perform at the new San Diego, New Central Courthouse project, and any other court facilities for that matter. Given the size and complexity of the San Diego project, the Judicial Council has made a wise choice to enter into a project labor agreement to assure a quality and timely project. This will be a landmark facility for the California court system, as well as for the city and county of San Diego, and it should be applauded. Billions of dollars in construction work in California and nationwide have been successfully completed on time and on budget or under budget under project labor agreements. We encourage the council to contact both public and private construction users who have taken advantage of the values the PLAs can provide. I'd like to quickly point to the LA Community College District Sustainable Building Program, where in 2010, projects under the engineer's estimates of $125 million were actually bid under PLAs at $82 million, or a 34% savings. As you've heard, PLAs are available to both union and non-union contracting bidders, again, despite what you've heard to the contrary. In fact, it's not uncommon, as was mentioned before, for more than 50% of the work to be performed by non-union contractors. Clearly, this Judicial Council and its staff are dedicated public servants, and I am disturbed by the accusations that have been leveled against this fine and august body. Please don't listen to the bluster. Please proceed with the business of building the San Diego New Central Courthouse, PLA, and be assured that our workers, contractors, and associations will do everything in our power to assure you and the people of the state of California that you've made the right decision. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Conway. Mr. Ronald Mitchell.
Thank you, Madam Chief Justice, Judicial Council members, staff, and all attendees. My name is Ronald Mitchell. I'm the Labor Relations Specialist with Bay Area Sheet Metal Air Conditioning Contractors National Association. It's Bay Area SMACNA. Bay Area SMACNA is a contractors association that represents 150 different sheet metal contractors that annually produce 6 million quality man hours throughout Northern California. My members at Bay Area SMACNA have successfully worked under project labor agreements, delivering quality projects on time, within budget, and with superior safety records. Excuse me. I'm here to lend my support to mandating that all construction work for the California court systems be performed under project labor agreements. Our partners from Organized Labor, Local 104, and our members at Bay Area SMACNA ensure that you will be... that they will provide California court systems with buildings and facilities that will meet your expectations and the public's. In accordance with the project labor agreement, our partners from Organized Labor, Local 104, and their members at Bay Area SMACNA also ensure that there will be no strikes, no lockouts, no labor disputes that will interrupt the flow of work on these projects. Thank you for giving me the time to express my support.
Thank you, Mr. Mitchell. Mr. Greg Armstrong.
Good afternoon, Madam Chief Justice and Judicial Council members. First of all, I'm thankful you're not in your you're not in your robes, because this is already intimidating enough. I'm Greg Armstrong. I'm with the National Electrical Contractors Association. We're a national association, but statewide we have about 500 electrical contractors. We employ about 15,000 electricians. They're all state certified or in a state apprenticeship program. I'd like to offer my support to the proposition of utilizing project labor agreement for your future construction of your courthouses. And I haven't heard anybody really say what a PLA is, and I assume most of you know a little bit about it, but it's not that controversial, and it's certainly not discriminatory. If you choose not to bid under a project labor agreement, that doesn't make it discriminatory. And as was mentioned by some other folks, on the LA Unified School District, I think 60% non-union, 40% union. It's not really that controversial. It's just another project delivery method. One of the things it does do, though, is it ensures local hire. You'll have non-union contractors bidding on the job. As mentioned, they may bring in their core employees, but further employees that are hired will come out of local hiring halls. I spoke with Collins Electric, one of our good NECA member contractors. They're currently working on the Calaveras County Courthouse project with McCarthy Construction. And so I talked to the owner of Collins, and he said, I have 25 electricians working on the job. Five are apprentices learning the craft. You need a future workforce. There's a mandate by the state. One of every 5 hours worked on a project is done by an apprentice that's getting training. So that's good. So I asked him another question. I said, how many of those electricians are local? And he said 20 of them are from Calaveras County. The job's being done in San Andreas. Five of them come from our office in Stockton and San Joaquin. But I think that's pretty good, and I think that's one of the benefits you get from a labor agreement. It's a labor agreement. It's not a I work for the contractors. It's not our agreement, but the labor agreement ensures a local workforce. Most of these projects are large, complex, $500-600 million jobs. I have pride in our NECA contractors. The training we offer through our association, and the training we offer to our journeymen that are state certified, that go through continuing education. These are complex projects. You guys think
30
about
seconds.
You,
30 seconds.
You flip on a switch, a light goes on. But just look around here. There's a lot of high technology, and especially in a courthouse, there's security, life safety systems. It's important that it's done correctly and right the first time because of your money that's spent. I'd like to close by saying that these facilities are an important part of California's infrastructure. And as the Honorable former Chief Justice Ronald George stated at the opening of the 4th District Court of Appeal building in Santa Ana a couple years ago, these projects bring welcome relief in the form of jobs to the local communities at a time when they are sorely needed. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Armstrong. Mr. James Hussey.
Madam Chief Justice, Judicial Council members, staff and attendees, greetings. My name is Jim Hussey, and I am president of Marina Mechanical, a heating and air conditioning firm located in San Leandro. PLAs touch on two topics that I believe are important to all of us: workforce training for the future and assuring taxpayers and local communities receive value for their tax dollars. With regard to training, I'd like to share with you that I've been a contractor since 1980. For the first 20 years of my career, I was a non-union contractor. And during that time, I worked very hard with fellow contractors to try and put together training programs for our industry. And I'm sorry to report that I wasn't very successful. When times were good, folks were too busy to train. When times weren't so good, folks couldn't afford to train. And so we ended up stealing employees from fellow contractors and just driving up our costs anyway. So after 20 years of trying that, out of a certain amount of frustration, I decided to become a union employer. I needed access to trained and skilled workforce, but in addition to that skilled workforce, I found all of a sudden that I was in a fraternity of contractors who were as committed to training as I was, committed to the point that they agreed to put $1+ per hour for every hour worked by every employee on every project, private or public, into a training fund to train new workers in our industry and to retrain workers on ongoing skills. Now, instead of stealing folks from one another, we're working together as a team to build our industry and move it forward. Now, with regard to taxpayer value, union or non-union, PLAs do not freeze out qualified contractors. As a non-union contractor, my company successfully bid on and won projects that were covered under PLAs. But sadly, there are contractors out there who are more focused on cutting costs and than they are in delivering quality products. This focus transcends training and manifests itself in the final quality of the project. Last year, my firm was hired to take over a project that was awarded to a non-union firm that used substandard materials, did not follow the specifications, and ended up installing a project for South Bayside System Authority, which is the water reclamation group for Redwood City, that was not going to be able to meet code. So in this case, a system that wouldn't meet California Title 24, wouldn't pass code, had to be removed and reinstalled, and this taxpayer group ended up paying twice for this project. There needs to be criteria other than cost for selecting the contractors who use public funds to build infrastructure for our communities. Taxpayers need tools that assure their funds purchase buildings and systems that are installed.
30 seconds.
As specified, meet energy building codes, built by contractors with a commitment to hire and train workers from within the community, funding the project, and thereby assure those public funds are returned to the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hussey. I believe our last speaker today is Ms. Annabelle Garay.
Hi, Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Annabel Garay. I'm a field representative with the California Federation of Interpreters. And bear with me, I'm trying to get over something right now, so my voice is a little odd. Chief Justice and honorable members of the Judicial Council, as you know, a letter sent last month by the U.S. Department of Justice describes California judicial branch policies and practices that are inconsistent with Title VI of the Civil Rights Act and its related regulations regarding language access for limited English proficient court users. The policies and practices identified by the DOJ affect courts statewide, and they result in the denial of interpreters to those who need them the most in the courts and events ancillary to court hearings. The DOJ clearly points to the Judicial Council's unclear policies on reimbursement for interpreter services and the redirection of interpreter budget funding to other programs as contributing factors to these violations. The DOJ expressed particular concern with the ongoing denial of interpreters despite the availability of funding and an interpreter budget reserve. Court administrators continue ordering interpreters not to interpret in supposedly non-mandated matters, even when interpreters are available to do this at no additional cost. This practice should be stopped immediately. CFI requests that the Judicial Council and AOC take immediate action to inform court administrators statewide that funding is available for interpreter costs in all case types, including civil matters, and explain that the funds won't be redirected to other budget items. The DOJ has clearly indicated that providing language access in some hearings, but not others, violates Title VI. In light of this, the California Federation of Interpreters respectfully asks to meet with you, Chief Justice, and AOC leadership to discuss the next steps toward rectifying this situation. We are eager and prepared to work with the courts to meet this challenge. I'd also like to take a moment to address something in the agenda that's an informational item, and this is regarding the Punjabi and Khmer interpreter certification. CFI still has serious concerns about the process and validity of these tests. We continue to question how so much money and effort was spent on administering exams that failed highly qualified candidates with decades of experience and impressive credentials. We wonder how the judicial branch plans to provide language access to members of these communities with only two Punjabi and three Khmer interpreters certified for the entire state of California. CFI believes that neither the Judicial Council nor the AOC has yet to adequately address these issues. This is why we respectfully request a meeting to discuss these questions and focus on why these exams and their rating processes are flawed. CFI would welcome the opportunity to have a renewed discussion that would lead to a solution that promotes language access in the courts for these two language pairs.
Thank you, Ms. Garay. Thank you. To all the speakers here today on a very important issue of PLAs and interpreters, the Council thanks you for your comments, for your thought-provoking ideas about what was said here today. We appreciate your input. We stand in recess until 1:45.